We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap. 10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's just... Check, chickity, checkity, check, check.
Chickity, check myself check, before I really chickity. Wreck myself?
Yeah.
How does one riggity. Feel when you tell them that they might wreck themselves?
Well, then you should tell them that they would riggity wreck themselves, not just wreck themselves.
That makes it all the difference, you know. You are right.
Welcome back, everybody.
Well, hi.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game, we tell you about it. We are Soul of a Gamer podcast, but this week we're doing a hot takes.
Yes, hot takes.
So this week for our hot takes, we are doing some of the saddest moments we think of in video games,
yes,
as well as some of the coolest levels we've experienced in video games.
Yes, most pleasantly. Yeah, we're going to be going over a wide variety of different games and stuff, I'm sure, in this episode.
We'll see. I think a lot of the time, with our favorite games, we focus on those so much because they're our favorite games, and if they're our favorite games, they have everything we want in them, therefore they probably have all the normal shit that we think of, you know?
That's fair. There is a few big repeat games for sure in my list,
yeah.
But
oh, yeah,
there's a couple
sure.
of different ones that are games we've played. Some we haven't, actually, even.
Yeah. So. All right, well, I'll start this one off. One of the saddest moments that I have ever had to experience in the game is the end of Halo 3.
Oh, okay.
God, dude, seeing you on like a half-destroyed ship after you worked so hard to get off that fucking control thing that controlled all the rings, and Cortana putting you to sleep and you knowing she's going to be alone until someone wakes you up, and this is in 2007, guys. This is like years before Halo 4 would come out. This is years before you had any resolution on this, and you wake up and you go to sleep in the cryo tube and Cortana just goes, "Don't worry, I'll be watching." And then that's the end of the fucking game. And you're just like, "Oh my God, what? That's what you guys did to me? This is where we're going?"
Just not knowing anything, just going to a blissful sleep while Cortana just waits.
Yep, yep. Like, it's just... Well, and it's just not blissful, though. You're in, like, cryo sleep.
Yeah,
so
very, yeah, not
And
blissful,
you're in
but...
full armor. I know you never read the books, but in the books, they describe what it means to take the armor off after cryo sleep.
Yeah.
And they literally have to, like, peel it off with a knife.
Damn.
Because it gets, like, it fuses to your skin, essentially.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's, like, it's gross. And you're not supposed to do your armor for cryo sleep, but Master Chief does it all the time.
Fair. And I read the first book.
Well, I don't think they went over that in the first book.
I don't think they did.
I don't remember if they did or didn't, but I know they went over it and when he woke up in the flood.
Fair.
And they did go over it in First Contact too, so.
Okay. All right. One for me, unless you had more you wanted to say on that one.
No, I mean, just you're going to be in a lot of pain when you wake up, too. Just get sadder, and no matter how what you think, get sadder and sadder.
Fair. Especially having to peel that off. That sounds excruciating.
Right. And, like, you wake up, and your robot or your AI chick's like, "Hey, it's been 300 years, so, hey."
And you're like, "Oh, shit, so everyone I know is dead. Cool.
Everyone I know is dead, and also you've been alone for three. I feel great. I feel like
That's okay.
a cool winner."
She's fine by herself for 300 years. She doesn't actually go insane or anything.
Well, and she would be dead too, because that's another thing in the books. They say smart AI only live like 8 years or something.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Because they get so smart that they become too big for their GPUs and CPUs.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I'm going to go with a game we've played for the podcast, actually, Heavy Rain. I'm going to go with the lizard. This is after the origami killer has kidnapped your son, Sean. Mm-hmm. You had already had your other son get randomly murdered. Jason. Yep. Your son is being held in like a sewage drain that is slowly filling with water. You have about a week's worth of time to complete all these different jigsaw like puzzles to get the coordinates to where your son's at so you can save him. And the segment of the game that I think is like the probably the worst is the lizard. You have to go to this abandoned building. There's just a tablet and this is like really shitty apartment. And you press play and it's like, hey, if you really love your son, you're going to chop off the top portion of one of your fingers. You have 5 minutes. Time starts now. And you didn't come prepared, obviously, for that. So you just have to walk around the room trying to figure out what you're going to use to chop off the top of your finger. There are some things like hidden in the apartment that you can find, like a butcher knife that makes it a little easier. But if you don't find that, you like use like a piece of glass or something. It could be really excruciating and it goes into pretty gruesome details with the sound effects, with the breaking of the bone, with everything, especially depending on what you use to cut it off. So it just, it's a whole mess of depression. It's like,
yeah, I think Heavy Rain itself, the whole game is like super depressing. There's not a single moment in there when he's trying to like save his brother or whatever. I think in the beginning of the game and he just can't. Yeah. Or when isn't there a girl who gets raped in the game too or something like that?
There was a girl who's being attacked. Yeah, I think that
sexually like, assaulted, I want to say, in like the top of the club or whatever. Like this whole game is just a fucking sad ass game all time.
It's tons of depressing shit. It's some heavy shit.
Heavy all the time. All the time. But yeah. All right, I like that one.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, I'll see your thing. You've probably never played this game too, but it's one of my favorite all games of all time. It is Mega Man X Command Mission.
Nope,
there is there's a character in there named Spider, and Spider becomes like one of your closest friends throughout the game. He's constant. He's a bounty hunter. He tries to kill you at first, but then he's like, no, we're best friends now. And then at a certain point in time, there's a character who tries to blow themselves up to kill you. And Spider goes, no, you don't. And he like hugs him
in the way.
And starts pulling him into a different room. And he's like, just get out of here. Run, go. And you have to just run away while Spider sacrifices himself to this inevitable explosive death, like in a painful, awful death.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that sounds pretty bad.
And like to make matters worse, later on in the game, you encounter him again, but it's not him. It's like a clone of him or something.
Oh.
And it's like the evil guy pretending to be him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I need to replay it to see if like he was evil all along, but I don't think he was.
Okay, so he sacrificed himself, but then could have been evil
all along. He could have been a clone or whatever, but I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I mean, either way, it sounds pretty depressing. Whether you're having to fight your old buddy's clone who sacrificed himself or having to fight someone who pretended to sacrifice themselves.
You do have to fight him later on, too, before he becomes the big bad guy again, which sucks. So it's like double the hurt on you.
Okay, so just lots of betrayal.
Yep.
Lots of shocking.
Lots of betrayal, lots of death. It's a crazy game. It's a cool game, though.
Okay. Yeah, I've never played that one. I've only played the one Mega Man game, Battle Network, or whatever that you made us play.
Oh, that was such a good one, too. All the Mega Man games are actually really good. We should go back at some point and play Legends, because Legends is like one of the best Mega Man games of all time, especially Legends 2.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah, old game though. It's like N64, I think, or PlayStation. Okay. OG.
Nice. All right. Next one I'll go with. This one's kind of an obvious one. It's a game I talk about way too much. A game that's really relevant, though. No, I'm actually not even talking about that.
Okay, good.
I thought about it, like I didn't want to talk about any of the deaths in the game because obviously a lot of the deaths are traumatizing.
Traumatic.
They're supposed to be
you could do an entire list of the most traumatic things from just that game.
Yes, exactly. It gets really easy, but honestly to me, and a lot of those are downright just brutal or awful, but like to me the most depressing part of the entire story.
Oh, you are talking about it.
No. Well,
which game are you talking about right now?
Last of Us 2.
Okay, you are talking about Last of Us. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. I am talking about The Last of Us, but yes, sorry.
Not Joel.
Not Joel. Not any of the deaths in the game, even though I almost did want to shout out the deaths in this game just because, like, every character has a name.
I figured you'd do the first
one. Every character in the second one has a name, though. Like, every villain, like, every just, like, NPC villain has a name, so even if you shoot just some random guy in the kneecap, it's like someone
not
from across
John.
The room, like, Timmy, no! And that just really makes you think about every action you do in the game, like, full-heartedly. I know that's what it's trying to do, but honestly, no. The most depressing thing about Last of Us 2 is just that Ellie never... And spoilers for all those who are watching the show who hasn't played the game, but Ellie never lets go of Abby. She has, like, three different confrontations with her. They both let each other go, like, three different times. She gets to the point where Dina... and is like, I'm leaving you if you choose to keep going after her because, like, you're fucking insane. Like, you're ridiculous. You're tearing apart of our family. Like, me and you have been living on this farm house by ourselves with our son for the last few years. Why can't you let this go? Like, why do you still have to keep going after this?
Shut up, Dina. That's why.
And it's just... It's a really depressing moment when she goes out again to try to kill Abby that one last time. It's honestly part of the hardest part of the game to get through because I wanted to get to the ending, but I was just getting so annoyed with Ellie the entire time. And then coming back after letting Abby go one last time and going back to the farmhouse to find an empty farmhouse and everyone has abandoned you, I'm just like, dude, this is fucking goddamn.
Welcome to Earth.
I was just like, I feel bad, but at the same time I don't, because she caused everything herself, and it's one of those things, like, there's a line that you even have to cross yourself, and once you cross that line, there's, like, no turning back. Like, you can't blame any family member for not wanting to go past that line. You can't blame the people who needed to get away from you just from how much you were self-sabotaging. Like, there's so much in that of, like, trauma that I'm just like, it's way too hard for a lot of different reasons, and fuck this shit.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like it. I'm going to come at you with another death, only this one is so optional, it's not even funny.
Oh, okay.
So the Mass Effect series, we've talked about several times, they have a lot of cool things in there, and that includes the death of several of your characters depending on how you shape things in the world. Okay. And one of the deaths near the end of the game is Rex. Now, if you don't get Rex's, like, loyalty high enough, he will try to kill you. And Ashley will kill him.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, like, the saddest thing in the world, because I remember my first playthrough and I really didn't know how to work RPGs on the first playthrough where I had really focus on characters. And I didn't get Rex high enough, and then he ends up being like, yeah, I'll fucking kill you if you stop them from stopping the genophage.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then you're just like, put down the gun, buddy, and then there's an option that's grayed out if you don't have enough Paragon on him, or not Paragon, whatever the other one was.
I can't remember.
It's grayed out. To even, like, add insult to injury, it's grayed out so you know you can pick it, but you can't fucking pick.
You know, those are, like, the times that it's the worst, because it's like, at least I didn't know that I had the option for it to succeed, but seeing that I could have succeeded but fail, like, I have to fail, is always like, it's crazy when that shit happens.
Well, and it's so sad because then he dies and you're like, fuck, because if he doesn't die and you play the rest of the games, he plays a very major part in every fucking game.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Yep. And then it's just some random Krogan if you kill him. So it turns out to be his brother or something like that, or cousin.
Okay. Like a D&D swap. Like, hey, I'm his long-lost brother.
Hey, I'm his twin. I'm his twin who is exactly like him, only a little bit different. I say the word, oh no.
And he shared me all of the stories with you guys, so I already know everything about you. Yeah.
You don't even have to catch me up.
Yeah.
We were actually telepathically linked, so I saw everything he saw all the time. That's what it is.
I felt everything he felt, including the time you sucked his dick. That was weird. Very weird.
It's such a sad moment, because Rex is a sweet character, and if you don't, like, try with him, he'll just die. And then, like, you're sad, and you want to kill Ashley, and you can kill Ashley.
Do you want to kill Ashley, though?
Yeah, actually, Ashley's one of the most hated characters in the entire game series.
I remember you telling me that, actually.
I think it's because she's Christian, which is even... It makes it funnier to me.
Yeah.
She's the only religious person in the entire game, and people are like, really? You had to pick one person who's also a bitch to be the most religious person? Thanks, guys.
I mean, that's kind of how it works hand in hand a lot of the times.
It is, but it's just funny.
It's a self-righteousness, the whole, like, my way is the only way, and every other way is bad.
Well, it's even funnier because they do give you like 15 ways to kill Ashley if you really wanted to.
Damn, that's a lot of ways to kill.
Yeah, it's really funny.
All right. Next two for me are both going to be from war games.
Okay.
First one is a game we played. I was going to go with Spec Ops The Line. This is
the terrible game.
Yeah. This is the one where you get forced to use a mortar of white phosphorus on the enemy, and unknowingly also around 100 or so civilians. You then have to walk through the blast zone, seeing all the corpses and a few barely alive begging for their life or begging for death. And it is a war crime to use white phosphorus, and the game shows you why and makes you feel bad for doing it, even though they forced you to do it.
I mean, and the game itself honestly wasn't fun, but that moment in the game is horrifying.
It's fucking wild.
It's fucked. The entire game is kind of fucked, but that moment is especially...
Well, like, because the entire game is all about, like, PTSD, and you don't really know that until the end of the game, but, like, you really notice that this captain is spiraling at this moment. Like, this is the moment you're like, this captain is fucked. He's gone. There's no saving him. Like, fuck this asshole. Like, what the shit did he just do? Especially when you get to, there's one corpse that you can find in particular that's a mother hugging a child over her body, and she's like frozen in the white phosphorus, like melted over her child. And I'm like,
I just picture them adding more stuff. Like, you find her journal, and it turns out that she escaped a concentration camp in the Holocaust. Keep adding it. Like, oh, also she was like, it would be crazy.
Oh, seriously though, there's a Call of Duty game, and I haven't played it, or this would have been on my list, but there's a Call of Duty game where you actually play as like two kids that escape from like a prison, but then like all the shit happens outside. Their father gets captured and beaten to death in front of them. They get a hold of a gun, but it's a little kid, so you shoot and you like launch the gun backwards because of the kickback and almost like break your arm. You walk outside, the crowd gets poison gas, like,
skin on your face or whatever,
dude. And I'm like, wait, what? You play as like little kids in a war game now? What the fuck? Just to see how depressing the world gets right there.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, no, Spec Ops The Line, that one's so fucked. It's depressing as shit. It's horrible. It's also like one of the harshest spirals into PTSD a game's ever shown. I don't think many games actually go down that route. So props to them for that, but damn.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Bastila's Fall to the Dark Side from Knights of the Old Republic for my next one. Okay. This one's really sad because, like, you get to see a little snippet of what's happening as she's trying to hold on to the light and how she's just being tortured. Like, she's just being nonstop tortured. And then when you meet up with her again, she said, you know, I held out hope that you would rescue me, but you never came. As I was being tortured and hurt, you never came. It's like the sad, you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
What was I supposed to do?
I've been trying to come to you. It takes a while to get through the mechanics of the game. Gosh.
I'm sorry.
It's just a really sad moment too, because like the entire game, she represents the betterness of the Jedi, like the goodness of them, the social justice of them. Like, and then at the end, she's just like, fuck all that. I'm a kill.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so few like giant swings from the light side to the dark side in Star Wars. Anakin being probably the most known one, that one being one of the most other known ones. goddamn. And it takes so much to go from that moment to that moment too. Because how does someone go from that much hope to just no hope entirely?
By torture.
I mean, I agree, but it's like no. It's depressing to think that like such a bright light can be fizzled out.
All right, we got one more each. Let's go. What you got? Yep. What's your last military one?
Last one is from, this one is probably the most controversial one ever put in a video game of all time. This one is from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. This is Act 1, Mission 4. This is called No Russian. This is a level where you start out on an elevator with, I think it's three or four other men with machine guns. One of them turns to you and says, "Remember, no Russians." And then you enter a busy airport, and then your captain commands you to open fire on the innocent crowd. You commit a airport mass shooting on innocent civilians to start this mission as a Russian soldier before Russia comes to do a Red Dawn on America. It's
okay.
You can skip it. There's like a trigger warning thing that even says like this is one of the most like fucked up things ever. Like you can skip this if you want to. Like that's how it had to have that added into the game.
That's a Call of Duty game too, you said?
It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. It's Modern Warfare.
They are so fucked. It's not even funny. Call of Duty is just a fucked franchise.
Dude, Call of Duty, like,
They're fun, but they're not that fun. Like, I would just never play them.
Honestly, like, I really did like a lot of the story modes. I hate it when they stopped caring about the story and went straight to the multiplayer.
That's literally all their money, bro. All those microtransactions from the stupid fucking...
Oh, especially now. They're doing crossovers with everything. Like, they had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover recently.
Yeah, they're literally pulling a Fortnite because that's how Fortnite makes all their money.
Even though they did a Seth Rogen one recently and a Jay and Silent Bob one. And the Seth Rogen one's hilarious. Like, his assassinations, like, a lot of times, like... He's like holding a gun at them, and then he like sneezes and drops the gun, and the gun fires and shoots him in the head. And he's like, "Oh shit!" Like oh, I'm like, shit. That's actually really fun. Like
that's fun. You know, it's just kind of dumb as all.
Oh, it's completely dumb, especially in a Call of Duty game. Like I would expect it in Fortnite, but like in a Call of Duty game, it's so unexpected. But the animations they do for these characters are fantastic. So I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not gonna buy it. But this is awesome and fuck you. But yeah, no, seriously, the mass shooting, though, of innocents in an airport, like, it's...
I don't know if I'd play that. I'm going to be honest. I think I wouldn't.
I did the first time because I didn't know what I was getting into because I pre-ordered it because I used to pre-order all the Call of Duty's day one. You don't have to participate, though, either. You can just walk with your troops. And they'll mow everyone down for you.
And just watch as they're killing everyone, and you're just like, yeah,
but
you
literally, if you do play the mission, you just have to be involved in some way.
Yeah,
and towards
the
end of the mission, like, military and police actually come, so it feels like a more of an actual level at that point towards the end of the mission, but it's not worth going through all that.
No, I would say not.
No, always skip it.
All right. All right, well, my last one is probably one of the saddest moments in video games, I would say. If you've ever played Red Dead Redemption 1, you play the entire game as John Marston. You fall in love with this character. He's doing everything for his kid and his wife. Mm-hmm. Like, he is just so... He's kind of an asshole, but, like, in the most...
Endearing way.
Yeah, literally the most endearing way. And also, just, again, he's doing this all for his kid and his wife. He's so in love with them. Like, it is crazy. And then you get fucking double-crossed by what is his name?
Is it Duke?
No, it's the marshal. One of the marshals double-crosses you. Okay. So after the marshal double-crosses you, you get your kid and your wife out of there, and you get to fight all alone, all the things coming at you with no hope of survival. You literally cannot win this. Eventually, you will be dead. That's just that simple. Okay. Yeah, but you take out some serious motherfuckers before you go. But it's still the saddest moment, and then the game continues on with the son taking over the reins.
Yeah,
and the son gets to kill the marshal at the end, which is really nice.
Yeah, no, I heard his last stand is like such a sad moment, but such a great moment.
It is because
it's
badass,
one of those like full Western badass moments where you're just like, I'm gonna gun down as many as I can, like I'm going out like Billy the Kid.
Yep. If you had that machine gun, you would have killed them all, but you don't.
Fair. Okay. All right. Well, those are some of the most depressing moments in video games. If you have some to share, please let us know.
Yeah, seriously. And then we're going to move right on to some of the coolest levels we've ever played on.
Yes. I guess I'll start this one. I'll start one. A game I've brought up quite a bit, but I'm going to go with Marvel Spider-Man 2, the full-form Venom scene.
Boo.
No. When Harry first comes the full form Venom and he first breaks out, it's like partway through the game because it's definitely not at the beginning. Like you would think it is after fighting a bunch of times with like Kraven and stuff. You finally get to this scene where he pops out and you get to actually play as Venom. And he's in his full form, his giant 10, 12 foot tall form. Mm-hmm. And it's just so different. He's so much more powerful. He's so much more just overbearing. Like, it's just such a cool rampaging through Oscorp, just destroying everything. And then actually getting the fight to go out into the city of New York and finally like getting the suit onto Peter and stuff. Like a lot of the stuff with Venom, like they had to do that game justice and they did. And that moment really pays off in that game. The game's a little slow sometimes, so that moment pays off a lot.
Nice. All right, well, I'll jump in with the Skies of Arcadia level. Now, this is one of the coolest things about this game. So the entire game, you're like in on these flying ships, essentially.
Yes.
And you're learning about this old world that used to be there, like this this world of people who were very advanced in technology and everything, but it's completely been destroyed.
Okay.
And sometimes you find these cool ruins where you're like, oh my God, these guys were super fucking cool. And one of the levels you have to find is underneath this ice sheet.
Okay.
So the people of the north, I believe they were, they lived in the ice. So you have to go underneath the ice sheet because their city has been completely frozen over. And you find this like essentially floating city that's like carved into the top of the ice wall.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but does not have a clear bottom because it is floating, you know? It's very cool. It's like it's a cool area. When you first go there, you're like, oh my God, this is so fucking sweet.
Okay.
And you just have a lot of fun like being there, looking at things, figuring out stuff. It is a really cool level.
Okay. Okay. Nice. For me, I'm going to go with in Resident Evil 4 Remake, especially. I'm going to go with chapter 13. This is where Leon and your buddy Mike in the helicopter is going through buildings, going through trenches. It's like a full on war scene from like a Call of Duty game and a Resident Evil game. You have to take out anti-aircraft guns. You get to use turrets for the first and only time. It's about 20 minutes long of just high octane carnage.
I believe that's only in the remake. I think he used that in the original. Because in the original, the guy in the helicopter just dies super quick.
Yeah, it's like a full thing where he goes around and like strafes around and like bullet fires like a whole line of enemies, and then like another wave of enemies come and you take them out, and then like it's this whole crazy like section of the game, and it's really cool, and it's you almost forget you're playing a survival horror game at that moment. Mm-hmm. You're just like, fuck yeah, action violence, let's go, blow shit up.
Fuck yeah, America!
But it's so fuck well yeah. done. Exactly. It's so well done. It's so well crafted. Just everything about it is, it's one of the best moments of the game. It's one of the most fun. And yeah, I don't remember if it was in the original at all. So being a fully fresh thing for lovers of the original too, it's a fun little addition.
All right. I like it. Well, let me come at you with Lost and Random. So this is actually one of my favorite levels because it's just so stupid. It's Sixtopia.
Fair.
In Sixtopia, you essentially, it's been like regarded as a dream world. People get chosen at random to go to Sixtopia, and like it's everyone's dream to get there. And then when you get there, you see that it's completely made out of cardboard.
Yep.
The entire castle, the entire town is just one big cardboard town, which is just the funniest, stupidest thing you have ever seen in your life.
All cardboard cutouts is just so fucking hilarious.
It is so hilarious. And the level is actually kind of cool for that reason. You go in, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be so cool in Sixtopia. And like up to this point, all the worlds have been really cool. And then you get to this fucking world and it's just all cardboard. It's the funniest shit in the world.
God, I got to love anything that does like cardboard cutout shit, because that shit just always is good for some reason.
Yeah, it's always funny. Like it's always funny when they do like fake levels. Essentially, it is always fucking funny.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But yeah, no, I definitely agree. And that game's got some of the best art design period anyways.
It really does. They do it all. I want to replay it, actually. It's so good.
I have it on our list for one game we will replay and redo for the podcast again, because we need to show extra love for this game, because
it was so fucking fun to play, guys.
Oh, 100%. All right, last two for me. I'm going to go, this one is one we've talked about a little bit before. This is from Titanfall 2. This is Effect and Cause. This is the time travel level where you get a glove device that allows you to shift to a different time in the same building, exact location where you're at. You have to use this to traverse through the building, and you even have to use it to get to use it in combat, sometimes fighting in both time periods at the same time, going back and forth between battles. It is one of the most wild first-person shooter level experiences ever. Titanfall 2 honestly has some of the best level designs, period, of any shooter ever made. Like, yeah. I will say probably the best, hands down. It's not even close. Because between this one and the house building factory level, I think those are the two best level designs in that game, and they're both, like, seriously, the house building one, like, you're watching houses, like full size houses getting built in this giant machine, and you have to like traverse on these houses and through these rooms and stuff around
over the hills and through the woods.
Yeah, to grandma's house we go. Light that bitch up.
All right, I like it.
But yeah, no, I think both of those levels, especially though the time travel one, it's just one of the most effective, and you only get to use it on that level, which is also kind of bittersweet because it's probably one of just the coolest things in the game. You're just like, I want this entire game to be this, like the whole shifting back and forth, like, because it's destroyed in the future completely, and it's a fully brand new when you're switching back in time. So you're going from this like pristine building that people are living in and working in and security is at, to this building that's completely destroyed and there's robots ravishing it now, and there's robot panthers that attack you that are fucking wild.
It's fucking crazy. There's another game that does that really well too, but I don't remember which one it was.
I can't remember.
Oh well.
But yeah.
All right. Before we continue, Steven, let's pause. Yes. Cause my thing is going off. So, that was a cool one.
Yeah.
Sorry if you're wondering, we had to pause for just a second. But all right. Well, yeah. Actually, that is a, like I said, there is a game that does that really well too. I just don't remember which game it is. Like, you're just constantly looking back and forth at the same thing, and it was really cool to see it because you're like,
oh,
oh
I know
my
there's
God.
A horror game recently that also did something with shifting. It's called Medium. I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
No, that wouldn't be it. God, I can't. If I could remember what it, it's a cool. Every time they do that, it's just really cool because you're like, holy shit, this world is so different.
Mm-hmm. Anytime they have like a shifting style, I think even the new Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart did something with shifting times or something like that too.
I mean, technically the Sonic 2006 game, they kind of did that. You can see like glimpses of the future where Silver lives and it's all fucking destroyed.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool seeing it because you're like, what the hell happened? That could have destroyed everything. Fair. And you know it has something to do with you because it always has something to fucking do with you.
Oh yeah. Well, what do you got?
All right, I'm gonna go with It Takes Two, the castle level.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, you know, this is just one of the coolest levels in this entire game because it kind of goes into like a Diablo area, essentially. Like, they do some Diablo gameplay where one of you is a wizard and the other person's like a warrior, and it's just really fucking cool.
Oh, there's so much of that whole castle, and then the top of the castle is hilarious.
Yes, so the top of the castle is pretty fucking funny, which is, for all the wrong reasons, it's hilarious. But the castle itself is a cool level, and like the entire game, honestly, is one fucking giant cool level all the time.
So those games are so good because like their levels are so random and different.
Yeah. And intricate, unique. Dude. They're so fucking intricate. They have so many like sides to them. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like my favorite one of those is one of the It Takes Two is probably the snow level.
Yeah, which is beautiful. But even like when you're on the fidget spinners, which I think is getting up to the castle, that's fucking cool. You get to fly around everywhere. Like they did an amazing job on level design, you know?
They really did. There's some really cool shit in that.
Yeah. The space level too, that one's fucking wild and cool. True. Like honestly, everything in that game is fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, this climbing up the trees with the squirrels and the bees, the squirrel fight on top of the plane
the
wings.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, like there's some crazy ass fucking things in that.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, what do you got for your next one?
All right, my last one here, I'm going to go with a game I actually have not completed, but I love every time I get to this section of the game. It's from Dishonored.
Wait, before you continue, are you only doing four?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I got two more, so I'll just pick whichever one. Or maybe I'll just say both.
I can pop another one out of my head.
If you want.
All right. Well, I'll see what I come up with. All right. Dishonored 2, though. Clockwork Mansion. This thing is fucking wild and so cool. I was talking about kind of the, in Titanfall 2, the houses being built. This one kind of has interesting kind of structure to it. It starts out as a museum showcase room, and then you pull a lever and the whole house transforms, and there's robots being built, and the contraptions of this are all like gears and rotations and moving rooms and panels. So like you actually watch all these like gears and everything shift and move, and then you have to like actually traverse through like the gears in between the shifting of rooms to go around the building and to get to secret rooms and to traverse around the house to get to your assassination targets. Like it's crazy. It's super unique. It's one of the most beautiful and mind-boggling like mansions I've ever been in. And it's aesthetically, like those games are such unique in their design, and like this Victorian like style, Gothic style is so unique in this steampunk mansion that everything is a contraption, with like an analog contraption. It's just wild. It's watching everything shift as many times as it does in every different room. You're just like, what am I gonna keep finding? Where is there? Why is there everything still more to find?
We actually put all of Tatooine in this fucking mansion. So.
Exactly. I mean, it's a lot.
All right. Well, I'll come at you with this one. I have a tough time choosing which level to pick from this game. Okay. Because one level is the intro level, right? This is the level, if you played the demo of the game, this is the level you played. And this level's fucking sweet.
Okay.
And the other level is just completely creepy. It's got a real creepy feeling. You can get out of the map and not find anything, even though you just saw things. And this is for Halo Combat Evolved.
Okay.
So in the level we're going to talk, or levels we're going to talk about, are the Silent Cartographer and 343 Guilty Spark.
Okay.
So Silent Cartographer, obviously, that's the demo level. That's everyone got to play this level if you had the demo of the game in 1999 or 2000. It was the coolest level in the world. It really showcased a lot of the new enemies you get to fight. You get to fight literally everything except for the Flood. Elites, grunts, elites, the sword elite, the what are they called? The tank things? Hunters?
Hunters,
the jackals, like literally, it had all the weapons. It had the pistol, the assault rifle, all the plasma stuff, the rocket launcher. You get to drive a warthog. Like the only thing you don't get to do in this level is use a tank.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, but it's got to be one of the coolest levels of all time when it comes to this. Now with 343 Guilty Spark, however, this level was fucking creepy.
Yeah, you know,
You start out by like going in because they lost contact with Captain Keyes and Sergeant Johnson. And they're like, okay, well, where the hell are they? And you'll hear like random like human gunfire in the distance, and you'll see grunts and stuff running away as if they're fighting people. And then you'll kill all the grunts that were running and look, and there's no one there. And you're like,
yeah,
oh, what? Okay, well, that's weird. Then if you look up on like there's these like high cliff areas, you can get to them if you just break the map a little bit, and you'll never find anything out there. But there's essentially like human looking figures up on the cliffs where like, and then they run away once they see you for some reason, and you're just like, soldier, are you something going on?
Good, are you bad?
And as you just traverse down, everything gets weirder and weirder until you find, like, you're basically finding no enemies, and you're like, why am I finding no enemies here? This is crazy. And then you find the recording of them getting attacked by the Flood, and you're like, oh my God. Oh, and then you're like, fuck.
I'm going to have to make it all the way back through everything with the Flood chasing me now, aren't
I? But it's got to be one of the coolest levels in that game, and one of the coolest levels of all time. It's just, it's so beautiful. But again, Silent Cartographer takes a close second, I think, because it's also beautiful, but for a different reason.
No, those are good choices. Those are good choices.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I have to agree. I love a lot of the things in Halo, and especially, when you are like any of the first impacts with the Flood, those things are always like just the most terrifying. Like
you think about like Halo 3 when the Flood crashes on Earth for the first time, you're just like, no, not on Earth.
No. But yeah, I did think of one other one too.
All right, go for it. I still have my last one then.
Okay. It's from the game Split Fiction, talking about It Takes Two creators. And this one, this is a level in the fantasy world where you're playing in Zoe's world.
Is it always a fantasy?
It's either fantasy or science fiction.
Is it You and Me?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. It's a Dio song.
Fair. I was like, I don't know where we're going with it, but I'm going with it.
Do you like fish sticks?
Yeah.
Do you like putting fish sticks in your mouth?
Oh, God. No. No, I don't. But this level, though, it's in Zoe's fantasy world. It's a story that she wrote for her sister that had died. And you don't get that revelation until like after this level. But it's kind of obvious at the same point. But this is a level where at the beginning of this level, you have to rescue these dragon eggs. And then throughout the level, you have to get these dragon eggs to this place where you can actually like birth them. And then once you get the dragons, you can actually ride these dragons. And then
I know you mean hatch them, but it's funny to think that they're shoving the dragon eggs inside of them to birth them.
You are correct. I don't know. All right. I don't know. I'm blonde.
We got to go to the special area to have them surgically implanted so they can birth them out again.
Exactly. But then, they're big enough for you to ride on, but they don't have like their wings and stuff yet. They're kind of more like lizards at this point. Like one of them can kind of glide, the other one just rolls.
Okay.
And so there's different mechanics that you have to do and traverse on the levels, and the levels get really intricate with like one having a rolling path that you have to like do all these like ramps and all this stuff, and the other one having this like flying path, but you have to like help each other and push things into each other's paths to like keep building the pathway as you're going. And then it gets to the point where your dragons fully evolve into full dragons, and then you actually get a ride on dragons, and then you has like a kind of like a How to Train Your Dragon fight with a giant boss dragon, and you actually have to like travel on these dragons to get on top of that dragon, and then it's like a Shadow Colossus thing on top of this big dragon, but your dragons are still like attacking it from the sides and like helping you kill enemies as you're going. Like, it's crazy. It gets way involved. It's super intricate. But just the whole thing of like the whole process of these two dragons and having to go from finding the egg to fully evolving them and having this epic dragon fight, it's just so wonderful.
Okay, I like it. All right, well, my last one, I really like this level because I think it's cool. It's Sonic Adventures Twinkle Park.
Twinkle Park. Okay.
You're in an amusement park because Amy wanted to go there for couples because couples get in free.
Okay.
And it's cool because there's like roller coasters. There's like a speed kart race thing you have to do. It's just a cool level. There's a lot of cool things about it. It's got like the back and forth boat thing, the
pendulum,
essentially
kind of
swing boat, whatever they're called. Yeah, that's very cool for that reason. They've got a lot of cool things in the game, but that level itself is a very, very fun level to be on.
Okay. Nice. All right. It just like a lot of mini games and stuff in there, or is it just like actually
a couple of mini games and then the normal like get through the end of the level kind of deal.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that was it.
Yeah.
That was the episode.
Yes. Let us know what your most depressing moments in games or saddest moments, and then your favorite levels or level designs.
Yeah, seriously, guys. soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email, and we will probably write you back. Just send an email, I guess.
Yes. soulofagamerpodcast, where passion meets pixels.
Yeah, that's stupid. God, that's stupid. Don't ever say that again.
It's a fun little tagline.
All right, guys, we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye. Love you.